The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Yaakov went out of Be'er Shova and he went to Choron. This is speaking after he stole the brochas from Esav, and then Esav was very, very angry and wanted to kill him, and his mother and father advised him that he must go away and he should go away to look for a wife. They told him to go back to their family's home, Choron, and there he will find a wife. And the Chazal tell us, Rashi makes a calculation that on the way he stopped into a yeshiva, Yeshiva of Eber, and he studied Torah there for 14 years, because in the whole calculations of the years there are 14 years missing. And there he studied day and night, and now he continued on his way. A few weeks ago spoke about shiduchim, choosing a mate for oneself. The Medrash says, we'll just mention it here because it's on the same subject. The Medrash Rabbah mentions here on this posuk, Os Gimel. Yeshu hu eile heilech etzel zivuge, yeshe zivuge bo etzlei. Sometimes we find that a person has to go to the place where his future wife is, yeshe zivuge bo etzlei, and other people are fortunate enough that for one reason or the other their wife comes to the place where they are. Yitzchok zivuge bo etzlei. Yitzchok was fortunate enough that his wife came, future wife came to his place. Shneemar, as it states, Vayar v'hinei gemolim boim. Eliezer was the one who was the shliach. He went to get Rivka, and he brought Rivka back to Yitzchok. And the Torah says Yitzchok looked up, and there camels were coming. Camels were coming, and with Rivka. Yaakov holach etzel zivugei. Yaakov, he had to physically go to the place of his future wife, as it states by Yetzi Yaakov, that Yaakov went out, and the main reason he was going to Choron was for a wife. Then it brings, the Medrash brings a posuk from Tehillim, Samaches Os Zayin. Elikim meishim yechidim baiso, motzi asirim b'keishores. The Almighty brings together individuals into one place, into one house. Now, the simple meaning of the text is, this refers to the geula, the redemption from Egypt. That there, Klal Yisrael were scattered all over Egypt, all over Mitzrayim, u'bishor kalo. And in an immediate, in a short amount of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all of them together in one place. So the Kim Meshim Yechidim Baiso, Meitzi Asirim Bakoshores, and he brought out those who were bound, prisoners of Egypt, Bakoshores, in a time which was kosher. And this is the Gemara Darshins, in a time which was not too hot and not too cold. Pesach is the springtime and the weather is very moderate. The Medrash gives another explanation in it. Elokim meishiv yechidim baiso, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes individuals and he brings them together and he makes from them a home. So the Medrash brings Matruno Shoalo es Rabbi Yehuda bar Chalafto. There was a certain aristocratic woman who asked of the Romans, who asked Rabbi Yehuda bar Chalafto, Omalei lekama yomim bora HaKadosh Baruch Hu elamai. How many days did it take the Almighty to create the world? Omalei levov yomim, ki dekhtiv ki sheshesh yomim osa Hashem es hashamayim v'es ha'oretz. He created the world in 6 days, as it states in the posuk. Omalei mahu eisem eisa shove ad achshov. If it took him 6 days to create the world, and that was a long time ago, that was almost over 5,700 years ago. So what has he been doing since then? Since then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, has been making shiduchim. He's been making matches. The daughter of this person should be for that person. So forth. She looked very surprised and she said, this is what the Almighty occupies himself with. All day since then. I also can do this. I have many, many slaves and many, many maidservants. In a short amount of time, I can match them all up. So, Omar Lo, Yeshua said to her, Im kala hi beinecho, koshi hi livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki kriyas Yam Suf. This might be something very small in your eyes, but as far as the Almighty is concerned, this is as difficult as splitting the Red Sea. Holach lei Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta went away. Ma osaso? What did this woman do? Not elef avodim ve elef shvachis. She took 1,000 servants and 1,000 men servants and 1,000 maid servants. Amidayson shureish shureish, and she lined them all up. All the men on one side and all of the women on the other side. Omar plan yasif lepleini, supleini stasif lepleini. And she said, you belong to you, this one will go to this one. Zivgay sambalai lachas. And that night she matched them all up, all 2,000 of them. Mocher othen lagabei dein muchia patsia, dein eneo shmita, dein ragleo tavira. The next morning they all came to her. This one, his head was smashed. This one had lost an eye. This one had a broken foot. Omer lahon malachon, she said, what is this all about? Dein omer lesano boy ledein, vedein omer lahon lesano boy ledo. This one says, I don't want to be with him, and this one says, I don't want to be with her. Biyad sholch ve'evias rikshu b'chalofto, omalei les elako ki lakochon. Emesi teiroschon, no'er u'mishubachas yofe amat. So, he said that there is no God like your God. Your Torah is emes, and what you said is perfect. Omalo lekwach amati loch, imkali beinecho, koshi livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki kriyas Yam Suf. Didn't I tell you this? To you it might look to be something very, very small, but to the Almighty, making zivugim is as difficult as the splitting of the Red Sea. And the Gemara says that the Kriyas Yamsuf, the zivugim shalodom koshik Kriyas Yamsuf, this that a person finds the right one for himself, this is a greatest miracle as the splitting of the Red Sea. So then it brings, then the Medrash brings this posuk. Kodesh Baruch Hu ma'aitha lehem mezavgun bal kocha shalei b'tevosan adohu deksiva lakim meishiv yechidim b'aiso meitzi athirim b'keishores. This is what it means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes two individuals, brings them together and makes a house from them. He takes those who were bound and brings them together b'keishores. What does it mean b'keishores? So the Medrash Darshans, it's made up of two words, bechi v'shira, to weep and to sing. Those that will be happy will sing out. Those that will not be happy will weep. But this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So from here we see the great miracle of Zivugei Shalodom. Now, so that's what Yaakov was going for. Rashi brings didn't have to say Vayetze, that Yaakov went out. It was only necessary to say that he went to Choron. So why does it say that he went out? So Rashi quotes the Medrash. That when a righteous person leaves a place, this makes a great impression. Vayetze Yaakov means that Yaakov went out, something left the city. That when Yaakov went out of the city, He took a great amount of quality with him from the city. That's what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is teaching us that when a person leaves a place, if he's a righteous person, he takes much with him. When a righteous person is in the city, then he is the praise of the city. Hodo, who's Ziva? Ziva is the shine, the radiance of the city. Hu Hadora, he is the beauty of the city. Yotzimishom, Pona Hodo, Pona Ziva, Pona Hadora. When he leaves the city, then the praise of the city is gone, the radiance of the city is gone, and the beauty of the city is gone. V'chein, and Rashi says, it's also in the Medrash, the same we find in Sefer Rus, states Vateitzei min ha-mokom o'omer ben omi v'rus, that when they left the place, so also by Naomi Rus, there was a vacuum left. And this same drosha Rashi brings in the Sefer Rus. Now the Gurayi explains, what are these three things that are mentioned? He says, when a great individual, a great person, is in a city, so he gives direction to the city people in three ways. Firstly, he teaches them Yirah Shamayim, to fear heaven, which means to keep mitzvahs, all of the mitzvahs essays, all of the leisa says, positive and negative commandments. Secondly, he gives them chokhmah, the wisdom. He teaches them he's an influence and wisdom of Torah. His counsel. They come and they ask advice. Well, they follow his direction. So he gives them chokhmah. Thirdly, they learn from him midas tevis. Midas tevis, v'derech eretz. Good qualities. Good character traits, proper conduct and discipline. These are the three impacts that a tzaddik has on the city. Now, Yirah Shamayim, to fear Hashem and to keep his mitzvahs, this is hodah. This is praise. As Rashi brings Yotze Hodah. Why? Because the prophet tells us that what a person can praise himself in is his fear of Hashem. The prophet said, Ki b'zeis tishalu es ha'odom. B'zeis tishalu es ha'odom. That this is how he should praise himself, with the fear of Hashem. Or what it states is Sheker Achein Ve'Evel Ayefi Isha Yiras Hashem Hitisalo. That there's nothing else that a person has a right to praise himself on except how he fears Hashem. So the fearing of Hashem, this is what is known as praise. Therefore, when he leaves and there's a vacuum in the direction of Yiras Hashem, so then the praise leaves the city. The wisdom which he gives to the city, that's known as light, radiance, because it states Chokhmas Odom Teyer Ponov. The wisdom of a person shows in the shine and the radiance of his face. Therefore, when he leaves the city, Ponozivo, the light and the shine of his wisdom leaves with him. The Midas Tovos and Derech Eretz, the qualities of the person, his mannerisms, his good traits, that's known as beauty. Because in the Masech Tovos it states that a person should choose for himself kol shud shi teferis la'iseho, something that will be a beauty for himself. And then Masech Tovos starts to teach us the Midas Tovos and the Derech Eretz, that if a person has good character traits and good qualities, good personality and good discipline, This is what is known as a tiferes la'iseha. This is a beauty for himself. Therefore, when he leaves the city, so is pono hadoro, the hadoro, which is beauty. These are the impacts that a righteous person has on the city. And this is the vacuum which is created when he leaves the city. Now, perhaps you might say that something of this level is only by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, who was the greatest of the Ovis. He was the perfect of the Ovis. Perfect one. So naturally, when he leaves the city, there's a tremendous vacuum left. But how do we know? Other people also? So on that, the Medrash brings, no, it's not true. This is by every tzaddik. Because the same statement is made by Naomi and Ruth. When they left the city, this also happened. So we learn that this is not only by Yaakov Avinu, but this is by any great person, any tzaddik, any righteous person. We can learn something else also. One might think that all of these influences, hey, we're speaking of Yerushalayim, we're speaking of wisdom, we're speaking of dignity, all of these impacts is maybe only by a righteous person who's a man, but not a woman. Right? Not so. Because the same drosha is brought in regards to all three of these things in the Sefer Rus. And there we're dealing with Naomi. So we see that a righteous woman also influences her community in Yirah Shamayim and fear of heaven, in wisdom, and in proper conduct. The Medrash asks a question. And the Medrash asks, what does it mean that Yaakov left the city and all of these things left with him? But there were other tzaddikim in the city. There was Yitzchok, his father Yitzchok and Rivka. They were in the city. So on that the Medrash answers, Leidem is chusi shel tzaddik echad, is chusi shel shnei tzaddikim. You cannot compare the merit of one tzaddik in the city to the merit of two tzaddikim in the city. Even though Yitzchok and Rivka were in the city, but when Yaakov was there, there was an additional influence. And now when Yaakov goes out, that influence was lost. Now, so from here we can learn much. First of all, we learn from here what kind of influence a person can have on the community. Now naturally here we're speaking of very great tzaddikim, of Yaakov and Yitzchok and Rivka and Rus and Naomi. But everyone is capable of having some influence on the people around him. Now we know that an environment which is not good can influence a person. A person is not supposed to go to an environment which is not good. Person shouldn't stay near people which are not good. But on the other hand, we must also realize that if a place has an influence on a person, then certainly a person has an influence on a place. And in general we say that meruba midas hateva mimidas hara, that the influence and the power of good is greater than the influence and the power of evil. So this teaches us what kind of influence an individual can have on his surroundings. A person shouldn't think whatever I do or whatever I say, that makes no influence. Not true. A person influences his surroundings in Torah and Yirah Shamayim. He influences his surroundings in wisdom, and he influences his surroundings in proper conduct and dignity. And when he leaves those surroundings, a vacuum and these things are created to whatever degree that he affected them. So great is the influence of man that we've quoted this before. At the end of Parshas Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the generations of man, it states, "Vayara Hashem ki rabo rosh ha'odom ba'oretz." HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw how evil is man on the land, and that he's always only interested in doing evil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was comforted that he made man on earth. What does that mean? He was comforted that he made man on earth. So Rashi brings, it was a comfort that he created man on earth. Because if he had created man in the heavens also, he would have also caused the angels to rebel against the Almighty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was comforted that he made this individual, this gigantic individual, on earth and not in the heavens. Because so great is his influence, he would have caused the angels to rebel against the Almighty. This shows the tremendous influence of man. And the Gorai says in Parshas Noach that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Mabul, he brought the flood, so it says that everything on the land was destroyed. So from here the Chazal learn, but not fish. Fish of the sea were not destroyed. The question is asked why. So it states, Shalei Hishchi says Darkom, because all of life on earth, they all distorted their ways, but not the fish of the sea. Therefore they were not destroyed. The question is asked, why not? Everything on earth distorted their ways, their own ways, so why not the fish of the sea also? So this the Gurai answers with this principle. The whole reason why all of life distorted their ways was because of the influence of man. Because they're all under the influence of man. And just like man was not created in the heavens, therefore he had no influence on the angels. And that was the Nechoma, that was the comfort to the Almighty. The same thing, man's home is not in the sea. Therefore he had no influence on the fish. He only had an influence in his surroundings, in his world. His world is the dry land. That's the issue. So from here we see how great an impact that a person can have, both for good and for evil. And therefore a person must never think that what I do or what I say nobody listens to and it doesn't make any difference. Not so. It's a tremendous impact. The and we see from here, even if there are many other tzaddikim in the city, person might feel there are greater persons in the city than me. Whatever I do makes no difference. Not true. Here there was Yaakov's father, Yitzchok, and Yaakov's mother, Rivka, were in the city. And still when Yaakov went out of the city, it created a great vacuum. Why? Because every person adds his own light. Each person is his own light. If you have one candle, you have two candles. If you have 100 candles, every candle makes a difference. And so is it with every person. So therefore a person must not say, there are other people in the city, there are greater persons in the city. What difference does it make? We've mentioned this in the past also, there's an interesting decision, a hayra, from Ramesha Feinstein. He should be well and strong. In one of his forim, where someone was davening in a shul, and in the shul he was getting a little disappointed at the behavior of the people. He said they were not necessarily the best type of people. They didn't necessarily keep Shabbos, and they didn't necessarily daven so well, and they talked during davening. And he wanted to go off to leave the shul and go off to another place. where there was a better community. And the people were trying to convince him, those who were interested in the welfare of the shul were trying to convince him to stay, because he had an influence there. So he asked the Shaila the question to the Moshe Feinstein. So he wrote him, he answered as follows. He says, if the shul is not a kosher shul, see, in other words, it doesn't, the shul itself does not keep the halacha to the point where you cannot daven there, that's a different story. But if it's a kosher shul, it keeps the halachas, the shul itself. Except you have individuals that do not behave properly, do not conduct themselves properly, says, then you shouldn't leave. Because mi'at or deicha harbe cheshech, our Chazal tell us, a little light expels much darkness. Because all you need is one candle, and that can cast the light through an entire room. If you're there, you can change the people. If you're not there, it'll go from bad to worse. Therefore, he told him he should stay. That's what we see. All of this, though, is only if it's a place where a person can be of influence. What happens if it's a place which is so corrupt and it has deteriorated so much where the person, it's impossible for him to be of a good influence, and to the contrary, they can be an influence on him? No, then the Chazal say one must not stay. That's what it states, Al tischa harchik mishoch in rov, al tischa b'l'rosho, that you should not go near a person or a neighbor that is evil, or you should not become friends with the rosho. And that also we have in the Sedra. Near the end of the Sedra, when Yaakov decided that he must leave the house of Lavan. This is in Bereishis Lamed Aleph Posuk Gimel. Vayema Hashem al Yaakov shuv el eretz aveisecho ulmalaretecho ve'eye imoch. So Hashem came to Yaakov and he said, go back to the house of your father and your family, ve'eye imoch, and I shall be with you. So Rashi says, Shom eye imoch, there I will be with you. Aba ba'etcha mechuba letome, eif shelahashre shkinosi olecho. But while you're mechuba letome, while you're attached to this tome, to this impure person, Lovam, I cannot put my shkin on you. Rashi brings this from the Medrash. A mechuba letome tome. A person attaches himself to a tome, to an impure person, to the point where there's nothing he can do with that person. Then he can only lose by it. Then he must go away. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go back, ve'eye imoch, then I'll be with you. But as long as you're in the house of Lavan, I cannot bring my shkina upon you. We find this also by Avraham, that says, Achari poridimai, after he separated himself from Lot, then Kodesh Baruch Hu came to speak to him. So if it's to the point where he cannot have any influence whatsoever, that's a different story. But if it's to a point where his influence is there, he should not think. First of all, we see the responsibility of a person. But secondly, he should not think that his influence goes unheeded. This is what we learn from Vayetze Yaakov, that when Yaakov left, much of the qualities of the city left with him. Then it states, Vayifka Bamokam Ahu, Vayifka Bamokam, Vayolen Shom Kivoa Shemesh. When Yaakov went to Choron, then he, Vayifka Bamokam, it means he was confronted, he bumped into this place. And he slept there because the sun set. Now that place, the Chazal tell us, was Beis Kel. That place was the place of the Beis HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be built in later generations. That was Yerushalayim. And that was Har HaMoriah, the mountain on which the sanctuary is built, the mountain which Abraham sacrificed Yitzchok. Now what does it mean that he went to Choron and then all of a sudden he was confronted with this place? We're learning now Masech Techulin, and we're just learning about this. The Gemara brings on that tzaddik Mora brings a daf tzaddik aleph amud beis. Mora says as follows: Kimotel l'choron. Yaakov went to Choron. Choron was the place where Avraham had come from. There Avraham's family was. When he went to Choron, he already bypassed. Choron is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Choron is in the area of Aram Naraim, that's already Iran. So, and Yaakov was living in Eretz Yisrael. So he already went out of Eretz Yisrael. Then it says that he was confronted by this place, and he slept there because the sun set. And then he had the dream, and this was the place of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says Yaakov went to Choron. Omar Efshu Avati Al Mokim Shispal La Vesa Vanila Ispalalti. He said, "Is it possible that I passed by the place where my fathers prayed, where my fathers davened, and I didn't?" Because Abraham, when he came to Har HaMoriah and he bound Yitzchok, there he said prayers to the Almighty. And Yitzchok states that Yitzchok Lasuach Basodeh. Yitzchok went to Lasuach. Lasuach means to speak, to pray in the field. And that's when he saw Eliezer coming with the camels with Rivka. And the Chazal tell us that was also in this place. He went to the place. They knew the Kiddush of the sanctity of Yerushalayim and where the Beis HaMikdash was to be built. And Yitzchok went to daven there. So Yaakov said, "Is it possible that I have passed over the place where Avraham, my fathers, davened and I didn't daven?" Kadyoiv died to the Ma'adir, so he said, "I better go back." So he was turned around and he was going to go all the way back to this place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw he was going to go to all of this trouble, Kotzleim Aro. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to trouble himself so much. So he picked up the piece of land and brought it to him. Picked up the land where Har HaMoriah, the mountain of Moriah, and he brought it to him. So before Yaakov could realize what happened, he realized he was there already. That's what it means, Vayivka b'mokom, that he bumped into, he confronted the place. Katzoli, so then he davened. He davened. The Chazal say that Avraham, he was misakin tefillah shachris. We have three tefillahs every day. Avraham was misakin tefillah shachris. He was the first one to daven shachris. And this we find in Parshas Vayera. In Parshas Vayera, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and destroyed Steva Amora, and Vayera in Posuk Yutes Chof Zayin, it states Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham got up early that morning, Elamokam Asher Omat Shom, and he went to the place where he was standing yesterday speaking to Hashem, trying to convince Hashem not to destroy Sdeim Vamora. Espenei Hashem. So the Chazal tell us Ein Amido El Tfilo. Omat Shom means Tfilo. He was mispalo. He davened. And when did he daven? It states by Yashkem Avraham Baboker in the morning. So Mikan, Shavrom Tikin Tfilas Shachris. Avraham was the first one to daven Shachris, and that's one of the reasons why we daven Shachris. By Yitzchok, it states at the end of Parshas Chayesora, in Chof Dalet, Samach Gimel, Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basode Lifnois Orev. Yitzchok went out, Losuach Basode Lifnois Orev. Losuach means to speak, to converse. Lifnois Orev, right before evening. Vayisoeino Vayar Vineg Balimboim, and he lifted his eyes and he saw camels coming. This is when Eliezer was bringing Rivka. Ains Losuach Elo Tfilo. Yitzchok went to daven, and it was lifnais orev, as the sun was setting, right before. So mikan, from here we see that Yitzchok was misakin tefillas mincha. And now by Yaakov, it states by yifka b'mokom, and the Gemara brings yifka is also a loshem, a statement of tefillah, that he davened here. When did he daven? He davened at night. So from here that Yaakov was Masakim, he made Tfilas Marav. So the three Tfilas that we have, the Gemara brings two reasons in it, but one reason is because Ovis Tikton, that the Ovis, Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov, they daven Shachris Minchen Marav. So the Marav is here. So the Gemara says, Katsoli, once he davened, Boyle Mahadir. So then he wanted to return on his journey. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Tzadik Zeh Bola Beis Malayni V'yifta Balelino. This righteous person is going to come to my house. This was HaKodesh Baruch Hu's house. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the Mishkan, the place where Hashem is shaking, where Hashem dwells. So this is his house. And Yerushalayim is his capital. This is Palton Shel Melech. This is the capital of the king. So HaKodesh Baruch Hu said, is it Derech Eretz? Is it proper that someone comes to my house and I send them out before, and I don't offer him lino, I don't offer him the opportunity to stay overnight? So he wanted to somehow force Yaakov to sleep there. So what did he do? Miyad bo Hashemesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought down the sun prematurely. It was still time for Yaakov to return on his journey and get to Choron before darkness. But Kodesh Baruch Hu brought the sun down prematurely. And he knew if he would do that, Yaakov would not travel further. Why? Because the Gemara says that one should not travel at night. When you travel, you should travel during day. When it's getting dark, you should pull in and wait till morning. And we mentioned, well, actually we mentioned this in the Shabbos year, but this is Derech Eretz. And the Medrash brings that Derech Eretz is the way of the world. And even the Ovish, even Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov were very, very exact to keep that. They did not want to rely on miracles. And when it's dark and you're on the road, there's danger. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that if he would bring the sun down prematurely, Yaakov would stay. So he brought the sun down prematurely. Yaakov said, all of a sudden it got dark so quickly, I'll have to stay here tonight. And he didn't know what this place was. The Gemara tells us that the sun had set prematurely for Yaakov. So this means that the days were short, were shortened, because the next morning it rose when it should have. So there was a longer night than it should have been. So the days were shortened. So in another parsha later on, Vayishlach, there the sun rose prematurely for Yaakov to pay back to the day which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had taken from. And that's when he had the match, the fight with the Sarai Shel Esav, with the angel of Esav, and he was stricken. There the Almighty brought up the sun early. So that's what it, so then, and Yaakov then he took the stones and he made a pillow for himself and he went to sleep and he had the dream, and only when he woke up did he realize where he was sleeping. So that's what it means. Vayelech Yaakov Charono, Vayivka b'mokem vayolen shon, kivo Hashemesh. That he was confronted with this place, and he dwelled there because the sun set. Actually, there's a good question we can ask here. Sorry. To give you something to think about. Tesis asks it in Masech de Brochus. If you look in the Gemara here in the Rikveger, he brings Tesfus and Brochus, Chof Beivus Omed Beis. No, Chof Vov Omed Beis. Bivir Amaskel Yaakov. We say that Yaakov was the first one who davened Marav. It comes out that he came, he went back to the place because he wanted to pray in the place where his fathers prayed. And then he davened, and then he was going to go on his way again. And of course, Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that he should stay there for the night, so he brought the sun down prematurely. It comes out and then that Yaakov davened before the sun set. Marav, you have to daven after the sun sets. It says Yaakov was the first one to daven Marav. How could that be Marav? It says he went back to daven, Then he was going to leave, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the sun to set. So he davened before the sun set. This question Tosfos asks. Now there's a whole argument in the Gemara as to when the night begins in regards to davening Marav, in regards to Krishma, in regards to several halachos. The Rabbanan hold that the night only begins with darkness. But the Rabbi Yehuda holds that the night actually begins towards the latter part of the day. The 11th hour. That towards the latter part of the day, before sunset, the night already begins. And according to the Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to daven Marav from that time. And there's a whole question as to who the halacha should be like. And during the time of Rashi and Tosfos, they write that it was the prevailing custom that Marav would be davened while it was still light. People would come back from the fields from work, and they would go to shul. Now they'd have to come back while it was still light, and they'd go to shul, and then they would daven mincha. And it was still a long time till darkness. If they'd go home, so they wouldn't come back again to daven Marav, they'd stay home already. So therefore, they would daven mincha and they would daven Marav right before darkness. This was the prevailing custom during Rashi and Tosfos time, and this is still the prevailing custom in many places when the days are long. Right here in Johannesburg, it happened. There's a whole question, if you should do like that or if not, if you should wait after dark or not. So Tosfos answers, this is what Yaakov did. He says, how could he daven Marav? It was before dark. He says that according to what we said, that the halacha, the law is like Rabbi Yehuda, that the time of Marav is still before darkness, and it comes out very good, and this is what Yaakov did. And he says, "V'yofe minik shalonu." Tosfos says that this is a very good proof from Yaakov to his custom, to the custom they had in their days, that they would daven Marav before darkness, because we see from the Gemara that's what Yaakov did, and that's the very source of Marav. The Gurai also says this as a terz. He asks the same question, and he says the same answer. But then we still have. But how do the others learn? So he says, possibly you could give another teretz also. The Gemara doesn't necessarily mean, so you could say another teretz. The Gemara doesn't necessarily mean that Yaakov davened while it was still day, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the sun down. The Gemara means that Yaakov returned to that place because he wanted to daven while it was still day, and then he wanted to get on his way back to Choron before darkness. When he got to the place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the sun down, to the point where Yaakov said, the sun set, I won't be able to go further. And then he davened. And then he slept there. And it comes out, then he davened Marav. So you could answer the other way also. But at any rate, according to the simple text, this is a tremendous source to that opinion, and that's what Tosfos brings. Then the Torah tells us Vayachalom v'hinei sulam motzav arzo. He dreamt and there was a ladder which is base. The base was on the ground, v'reishim agi ashamoyimah. And the top of the ladder was going into the heavens. V'hinei malach elekim elim v'yodim bay. And angels of Hashem were going up and coming down. V'hinei Hashem nitzav olav, and Hashem was standing over Yaakov. V'yeimar, and he said, Ani Hashem lekei Avraham avicha v'lekei Yitzchok. I am the Lord your God, the God of your father Abraham and Yitzchok. The land which you are laying on, I shall give to you and your seed. So forth.
Yaakov dreamt a dream. Ladder was going from the base to the heavens. Angels were going up and going down. What did this represent? It represented many things. Very concisely, Rashi brings Olim Tchila V'Yachakach Yodi. First they were going up, then they were coming down. Malochim Shelivo Be'eretz Ein Yetzim Chutz Loretz. All the Rekiva Yodi Malchei Chutz Loretz Lavosai. Yaakov was leaving Eretz Yisrael. The angels which were accompanying Yaakov, they were ending their tasks and they were going up the ladder because they were angels of Eretz Yisrael. Now new angels were coming down the ladder to accompany Yaakov further when he was going to Chutz La'aretz. First we see from here that angels were accompanying Yaakov Avinu. The Chazal tell us that this is not only by the Ovis. Angels accompany everyone. Now this is a whole subject in itself, which please God will talk about one day. But angels accompany everyone. As it states, Ki Malochav Yitzav Aloch Lishmorcho Bechol Drochecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that my Malochim, you Malochim, you shall command Lishmorcho Bechol Drochecho to guide you in all of your ways. And the same thing, Yaakov gave a brochus to his children, Amalach HaGoylisi, the angel which has redeemed me, redeems me, he should be with you. So a person should realize he's never alone. See? He's always accompanied by angels. And we quoted, I believe it was in the Yom Kippur Shir, the degree of the accompaniment of angels is in accordance to the degree of the height of the person. If a person goes too low down, then he's quite far from the accompaniment of these angels. The greater or the higher of a person he is, that's the closeness he'll be to the angels. This we went into, it was, I believe, the Yom Kippur Shir. That's one principle. Second principle we see from here, that the angels of Eretz Yisrael stopped. They couldn't go further. And new angels were coming. Why? What's the difference? The reason is because Eretz Yisrael has its own angels. And Malachi Ha'oretz Ein Rishoyin Lotzei Schutz Loretz. Eretz Yisrael has its own angels. Eretz Yisrael has its own Shmira, has its own guardianship. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a specific, like the Torah tells us, specific guardianship on Eretz Yisrael more than Chutz Loretz. Therefore, it has its own angels. So those angels were accompanying Yaakov and Eretz Yisrael. When it came to go Chutz Loretz, then they could go no further, and other angels came. Actually, we find that when Yaakov came back, so the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Vayetze, says V'Yaakov Holach D'Darkei V'Yifku Bo Malach Elikim. Yaakov went on his way and he met Malach Elikim. Now here he was meeting the angels of Eretz Yisrael. See, and it says Yaakov when he saw the Machne Elikim Zeh V'Yikru Shem Ahu Machanoim. When he saw this camp, he called it Machanoim, a double camp. So Rashi tells us Shtei Machne Shel Chutz Loret Shebo Imay Adkan V'Shel Eretz Yisrael Shebo Likroisei. Because this was, till now, the angels of Chutz Loretz were with him. And as he came into Eretz Yisrael, now the angels of Eretz Yisrael again were coming to accompany him. So that's what Rashi tells us. This is why there was a ladder, and angels were going up, and angels were coming down. The Gemara tells us another interpretation. The Gemara in Gid Anosha states, V'nei malach elikim eilim v'yodim bei. Tana olin u'mistaklin b'djunkei shel mala v'yodin u'mistaklin b'djunkei shel mato. These angels, they were looking at Yaakov and then they were going up to look at the throne of the Almighty. Then they were coming back down to look at Yaakov again. Uboy l'shikune. and they wanted to kill him. Miyad v'inei Hashem nitzavolot. So it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood over him and guarded him. Omer Rav Shimon Lokish ilmol mikro kosev yef shalayim rekodim shemeni fal v'nei. Rish Lokish says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood over him like a father guarding a child from the heat. Father stands over the child and fans him and protects him from the heat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing over Yaakov to protect him. What was happening? So Rashi states, "B'djunkei shel malo parzuif odem sheba arbe chayos b'dmus Yaakov." Boilisukunei machmas kino. And the Almighty's, this is Rashi in the Gemara, and the Almighty's throne of his, of, and the Almighty's throne, there are four images. There's one of the eagle, because that's, see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. And all other kings he has on his throne. There's the eagle. The eagle is the king of all of the birds. Flies higher than any other bird. There's an image of the shore, of the bull. This is the king of all of the domesticated animals. There's the image of the lion, the Aryeh. This is the king of all the chayas, the wild animals. And then there's man. And man is Melech HaTachtayim. Melech B'Tachtayim. Man is king of everything in this world. Now, the image of which man is there? That's the image of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov's face is hewed out, Chokuk B'Kis Yaakovet. What does this show us? That Yaakov was the king of all men. And being king of all men, Yaakov was the king of the entire Olam HaTachton, the entire lower world. Because he was the most perfect of all men. He had taken all of the qualities of Abraham and all of the qualities of Yitzchak, and he perfected them. And therefore, being the most perfect of all men, he was the king of all men. This is why he was called Yisrael. Ki sariso im alakim anoshim. He reigned. He elevated himself above all. And these were the brachas, these were the qualities he gave to the children, to Klal Yisrael, to us. Therefore, his image was hewed out, Chokuk al Kisei Yaakov. This also teaches us something else. That he rose higher than any other person, and he came closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than any other person. Right at Kisei Yaakov, to the throne of the Almighty himself. Now, when the angels saw this, they became very disturbed. They went and looked at him, and then they went up and looked there. And the boy Lisikunai, how dare a person of flesh and blood take the image from the throne of the Almighty? They wanted to kill him. Therefore it states, Vashem Nitzavolav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to stand over to protect him. That's a second interpretation. There's another interpretation also. And that is where was the ladder which had its base here and its head in the heavens? So Rashi brings right at the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And when he woke up, he said, I didn't know that this is such a holy place. Ein zeh kim beis elokim v'zeh shar ha-shomoyim. This is the house of Hashem, v'zeh shar ha-shomoyim, and this is the gateway to heaven. And Rashi tells us, beis ha-migdush shel malo mechuvin keneged beis ha-migdush shel mato. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a place in this world, he has a place in the next world, in the higher world, and it's exactly opposite each other. Now this was a very important place. Why? Because it states that Eretz Yisrael is considered the center of the entire world. Actually, geographically, if you look on the map, you'll see this is what the Mid East was always considered very, very strategic. It's the crossroads of the world.
Eretz Yisrael is considered the middle of the world. Some people claim that geographically, if you measure the world, it's not the middle. So the Maral writes on that, that it's also said that the navel of the person is the middle of man. He says, if you measure it, it's also not exactly the middle. It means the center point, where from everything comes from. Yerushalayim is considered the center point of Eretz Yisrael. The Mokom HaMikdush, the place of the Beis HaMikdush, is considered the center point of Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, in the place of the Beis HaMikdush, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holy part of the Mikdush, there's a stone. And on that stone is the place where the Oren HaKodesh goes. The most holy part of the Beis HaMikdush, where the Sefer Torah was kept, and the Luchos HaBris, the tablets. And that stone was called Evan HaShasiyah. Why was it called Evan HaShasiyah? So the Chazal tell us from Loshon Shesi. What does Shesi mean? To weave. When you start a garment, so you start to make cross sections with yarn, and you weave from there. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he started with one little thing, and he wove around it, and that was with this stone. Actually, today, Be'avaseinu Rabim, the Arabs have a mosque there, and they refer to it as the mosque of the stone, and they worship that stone. It's called Evan HaShasiyah. That from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoses kol ha'il. That's the center point of the world. That's the center point of the world. Similar to the navel of the person. Why is the navel of the person considered the center point of the person? Because that's the part that's attached to the mother, to a source. And from there he starts growing and developing. So that would mean this world is attached to another world. So it's attached at that point. That's what it's meant. This is the house of Hashem. And that's the gateway to heaven. Beis HaMikdash Shilmala Mechuvin the Beis HaMikdash Shilmata. That the Beis HaMikdash in the heavens is exactly opposite this Beis HaMikdash. That Yaakov understood. Firstly, this is the point where the world began from. And secondly, this is its source to the upper worlds. Now that's what the ladder represents. The ladder was joining two worlds together. It says its base was in this world, and it went into the upper worlds. The greatest task and achievement is where a man can join two worlds together. Because man is not physical, because he was given an nefesh, he was given a soul. He's not spiritual, because he was created off from Minado, thus from the earth. So man was created from both worlds. We've spoken at length in the past, which we don't have time to go into today. But the power of Yisrael, the power of Torah, is that mamutza, that perfect balance. Where he takes both worlds and he mixes them proportionately. And this was the power of Yaakov. Where he took all of the qualities of Abraham, but which was not a perfection. And all of the qualities of Yitzchok, but that was still not perfection. And he joined them together perfectly. Where a man is not spiritual, because he lives in this world, he has to be a human being. On the other hand, man is not physical, because he was given a spirit. But where both, he becomes both into one. And this was the power of Yaakov, and this is what he had dreamt. That the ladder was going from this world to the upper world, right at this point where the two worlds joined, and they were becoming one world. So that's another remes, it's another indication which was given to Yaakov Avinu in this dream. Then we can say also that the dream was indicating one other thing to him. The Medrash which we quoted at the beginning of the Shir states when this woman, this aristocratic woman, asked Rabbi Shmuel ben Chalafto, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do since the creation of the world? So he said that he makes matches all day. So Medrash brings another opinion. He does something else also. Omer Rebereachya Beloshin Azeh Hishivu Rabbi Yeshua Bachalafto. This is what he answered her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshev Yaseh Sulamis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all day he is busy making ladders. Why? Because a ladder is something that you can go up on and you can come down on. Mashkil Lezeh Umeirin Lezeh. Meirin Lezeh Umale Lezeh. Kodesh Baruch Hu is busy all day making ladders. But he takes people who are up high and he throws them down. He takes people who are low and brings them up. This is what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge. This person he will bring down from his high place, and this person he will bring up from his high place. Mashpil game, umagbiyash falling. The arrogant HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down, the humble HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings up. We should all realize the world constantly changes. The world constantly changes. We must never feel that if we're on top, it will necessarily always stay like that. We have to be mispalot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do mitzvahs and ask for schuyis to remain there. And on the other hand, a person should never feel that if he's on the bottom, it's going to remain there. World changes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does he do? From the creation of the world, he's busy with two things. Making zivugim, he makes matches, and he makes ladders. And you see it constantly. Mashpil game, those who are arrogant, or those who are high, he brings down. Ze yashpil ve ze yorim. And the other one he brings up. So we can say also, this is what the Almighty indicated to Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov was going up. Because he said that this land I will give you, the land which you are laying on I shall give you, and I will give you a brocha. The brocha he gave him was the greatest brocha from all the others. Chazal tell us, to Avraham he told, walk and it'll be yours. Or to others he said, as far as you can see it will be yours. But to Yaakov he said, foratz to yom of a kedbov, strain of an egbo. No limitations. Not as far as you can walk and not as far as you can see. Your bracha will go all over. The Gemara brings from here, he gave Yaakov a bracha b'li mitzorim, without any limitation. Because since Yaakov was perfect, there were no limitations. These are some of the principles that we can learn from these few psukim in the beginning of the Sedra. And we should realize that we are the namesake of Yaakov Avinu in Israel. And we should be zeicher to strive to the heights which he gave to the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.